Well, hey, Jen and Lauren. I'm excited to
Hey.
have you on the podcast today.
Hello.
Hello.
Our lovely team Danger is here. Lauren Gish, who has been running salons for a long time, 10 years.
Little less than that, but yeah, close.
An educator, consultant, and then Jen Madigan, who is our virtual assistant, business manager for photographers, and also has been running a photography business for years and years. So excited to have you here too.
Thank you.
Guys, today we're having a really important conversation because we're talking about what it means to be a high value woman or man in your creative business and like some things that go into that, some traits of a high value creative business owner, and how having this energy in your business can attract great clients. It can make for more ease and more fulfillment in your business, and how the opposite can kind of, I don't know, I feel like it can just mess with everything, right? Like can create a lot more stress where it doesn't need to be. So all of us want to be high value women and men in our creative businesses. And so we're going to go through six things that we think are really important if you're wanting to be embody this vibe, embody this person as you're marketing and as you're showing up for your clients and as you're up leveling. I think these things are so important. So y'all, are you excited to talk about this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So much to be said.
What's one of the main things for y'all? Like, what is one of the first things that pops into your head when you think of like someone with a lot of value, someone that embodies this high value vibe?
I mean, Jenna and I think we might be equal, but do what you say you're going to do. You're someone that is full of integrity and you follow through and respect yourself at the same time.
Yeah, I would say someone who's like trustworthy. So kind of again, that doing what you say you're going to do and finding out what your own values are so you can look for them in others and surround yourself with that, whether it's clients or team members.
So this like plays into clients and into the way that you guys operate your business, and also like when you're looking for collaborators, right? You're like someone that's trustworthy, someone that does what they say they're gonna do, someone with integrity. That's like really important if you're gonna share an opportunity with someone, if you're gonna recommend someone, hire someone, right?
Yeah,
1,000%.
Okay, so we came up with six things. I'm going to run through a couple of them fast and then we're going to dig more into it because we feel like there's kind of six main traits of a high value woman or high value creative business owner. And the first one that we all agreed on was boundaries. But we've been having some conversations about boundaries of like, what does that mean? Does that mean you can just be like, no, I have a boundary. I have a boundary here. I'm not going to do that. Like, what really is the boundary and how does that like come across for a high value woman?
Ooh. I think it's kind of about setting expectations for either your client, your team member. I think it's not about, oh, my lunchtime's at noon. Sorry, I can't, I cannot budge. That's my
It's
boundary. My lunchtime is
my
very important. But
boundary.
knowing, what's expected of you, what's expected of them. And being very clear about that and not people pleasing. There's I feel like so many people say they're breaking their boundaries. I'm, bending over backwards to help these people. And it often isn't about a boundary. It's like about just trying to make people like you.
I mean, the thing that, I think boundaries, especially in relationships, and y'all know that I just relate business to dating all the time. But when I'm thinking about like a boundary in a dating relationship, it would be like, hey, I need to communicate to you that I'm looking for a relationship. So I'm not going to settle for something else. And, or I'm looking for something casual or whatever, but just being clear about what the container is or what it where what you're showing up for, you know? And I think that like I used to think a boundary meant I was controlling other people's actions instead of like just expressing what my action is going to be. You know, like I don't answer emails after 10 p.m. or I won't respond if you're abusive or aggressive in a conversation, or I have a cancellation policy that's like, hey, you can't cancel a week before a trip we're going on because I've already paid all these things for you, you know? So like having kind of like those clear expectations. Do you guys have examples of where you've had those in your business or you've had to set that kind of boundary?
Oh yeah. Well, I was just telling Jen, before we hopped on here, like I've in the past with coaching clients when I was first starting out and I wasn't great at boundaries, and I would have people cancel on me last minute or be like, oh, I scheduled this other thing instead. And I could see them prioritizing other things and I had no boundaries. I just wanted to keep them as a client. And so I would be like, okay, like here's when I can reschedule you. And now if someone does that, I am like, okay, well, I'll see you on our next call. Yeah. Let me know if you want to talk through some stuff on Voxer, I'm still available to you there, but here's our next call date and I'll see you then.
Like they lose out on that one coaching call.
Yeah. It's got, they paid for it, but it's gone. Right. Yeah. So, and again, like, I feel like boundaries with understanding and compassion, like if something happened or they're sick or of course I'll reschedule, but if you're just honestly telling me you are not coming, or you're like, oh, I'm like, actually, you know, I booked a last minute flight. Like, can we push it? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So.
Because I think like we're teaching people how to treat us like all throughout our life, but all, you know, in this context in our business. And so if we're so kind of desperate to keep that person happy or to not ruffle any feathers that you're like, oh, you want to cancel, or, oh, you want to change this agreement, like, I just need to keep you happy, then it's like disrespecting us too, especially if we've communicated something different at the beginning.
Yeah. I love that you likened it to dating, because it makes me think of like when you're dating, if there's like a booty call or something, yeah. Like you're showing that person that like, yeah, you're kind of desperate and available whenever they want you to be.
Unless you really just want to have a booty call and then like, right. That's fine. That's good for you. But if you, yeah. Want, something, if you want something different, yeah. Yeah. If you, yeah. Want something different.
It is. It's like a business booty call.
Yeah.
Like someone calling and sometimes asking for above and beyond. And if you say yes, you don't say no. Like I've definitely gotten those calls, or the people that don't necessarily want to like pay for my coaching services, mm-hmm. but they keep asking me to go out for a coffee, mm-hmm. or they like, you know, like text me on the side, or I'll get this long voice memo. And I'm like, there it is, the business booty call. Like I used to answer them and now I don't.
So I think the question, if we are trying to embody the high value woman or creative business owner, this vibe in our business, it's like, what are we available for? What are we going to be available for? Are we going to have a boundary that says like, hey, I don't communicate via text, or I do, but I only do during these times? Or is it like, hey, here's when your photos are going to be delivered. And then we hold to that. Like, I see so many photographers, they're like, I can't market my business because I have clients waiting for images, or I can't do anything personal because they're watching and I haven't delivered their gallery yet. And to me, that's like a lack of a boundary too. Because if you've communicated, hey, it takes me 7 weeks to deliver, you should feel freedom to run your business and have other clients and do what you need to do. Like you're communicating your boundary and what you're showing up for, and feel freedom outside of that. I think, because I think like we put too much pressure on ourselves to just like keep the peace or people please.
Yeah, I think boundaries, I like you saying it that way, because it should give you a sense of freedom. It shouldn't be a list of rules you're like expecting people to follow or expecting yourself to follow. It should be in alignment with who you are, make you feel good and free.
Yeah. When I see people that say that, or hear people say that about, I can't do this XYZ because I have clients over here waiting for something, in my mind, I'm thinking, did you clearly communicate your time frame? Do they understand that? Like, where's the disconnect there? Because if you clearly communicated, there shouldn't be guilt, because you're still, as long as you're still on schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause they have to know you also have other things and a life and other commitments and other clients and things like that. And so I think that goes into, yeah, having high value clients to understand all that and understand and respect boundaries and actually want to see you doing well. right? Like, I don't think our clients want to see us struggling. They want to see us thriving and happy and having good boundaries for ourselves too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
There was more stuff. Oh, do you guys feel like boundaries have changed for you in different seasons of your business too? Because one of the things I get afraid to do on this podcast is to be like, here's 10 boundaries you need in your business. Because I do think they actually can look different at different stages in business. And if you try to apply a boundary at the wrong stage of business, or that just doesn't align with you and where you're at, like, it could actually hurt too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are some of those for you?
Well, we talked about this a little bit before too, but like, that is, boundaries have become such a buzzword that people think that they, to be successful at this certain point or to ever get there, you always have to have these specific boundaries in place. And I think for me, when I've been building different businesses, I'm way higher touch in the beginning. Like, the value and self-respect I have for myself is around the same, but the access I'm giving people is usually more. And I think we get that confused, like access versus boundaries, mm-hmm. based on our availability. Sometimes you just have more time to give, so you're going more above and beyond in different seasons.
I mean, yeah, I definitely have had different boundaries at different times in my business. I feel like when you're starting to build, you might say yes to things that you later on, when you're busier, your prices have changed, that you can turn away from. I feel like this time of year, I always think of it as a photographer. Like, there were times in my business where I would take a shoot the day after Christmas. Everyone's home for the holidays. They want a big family shoot. I wouldn't do that now. Mm-hmm. Just because it's a boundary I've placed around my own holiday time being valuable. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say it wasn't valuable then, but I was in a different phase of business and I, you know, was more eager. I was shooting more for less. Like, there's just a lot that changes as you go through time.
And you probably were happy to do it at mm-hmm. the time. Like, yeah. It felt like an exciting thing, or like, yeah, I can make this happen, or anything mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. I mean, I think for me, the biggest thing, like what Lauren was saying kind of about access, for a long time, I spent a lot of time on sales calls with, you know, anyone that inquired, because I was building my brand. I was building my word of mouth, like my reputation. I wanted people to have touch points with me. And I think that was a really smart move. And now my sales process looks really different. I have other people doing the calls, or I have really clear expectations and like have that written, hey, here's what you need to do in order to set up a meeting with me. And I think of it like a hedge moving, kind of like, as my time has gotten more tight, I need someone to meet me at a similar place in the process, and not like kind of go and try to meet people in this way different place. Like, they need to know they want to hire me, or they need to be really close to knowing they want to hire me, or know they at least have the same budget as what I charge or whatever, you know. But I do think if you set that too soon, it can hurt you too, because you're losing a lot of opportunity to build that clout and to build your own skills of sales, which we were saying, like, a high value woman also is always investing in herself and growing and learning new skills and putting herself out there. So just kind of, I think, like, take that into consideration too, like what stage you're at and what your business needs from you right now. Mm-hmm.
So high value woman, high value creative business owner, self-respect is very important. So self-respect, owning our own personal time, no people pleasing, not living in stress 24/7. Do you guys have an example of self-respect that you've had to put in place for your own business?
I think I can tell when I'm like losing my own respect for myself, when I'm not like not taking care of myself, or I'm not eating like square healthy meals each day, you know, like, I mean, I think this happens a lot to moms too, but like, I think that's something that needs to break as well. This expectation of kind of becoming the martyr to serve everyone else. Like, I think we should take care of other people and we should be there for them and really be supportive of people. But when I'm like skipping my walks or not feeding myself or not taking rest breaks or not listening to my body or not prioritizing like my routines, I'm like, I'm not respecting myself. I'm not telling myself that I'm high value. You know, I think that's so important that we're constantly showing ourselves that we are high value.
Well, I think everyone has different symptoms of how they don't like show themselves self-respect. I think, I mean, some of mine are similar, like, but for me, I'll be like, oh, I'm just going to like scroll a little bit longer or definitely missing meals. Like I met with a nutritionist and they were like, you're not eating enough. Like you might feel bad, like, cause you feel like you're eating, but they're like, you're not feeding yourself good food. You're eating like random nonsense all day, even if you feel like it's healthy, it's not enough food. And I would have never thought I wasn't eating enough. Or I'll definitely prioritize other people's needs over my own and be like, well, they should be able to do that, but I'm not worth doing that. So do you have symptoms of not respecting yourself, Jen?
Yes. I tend to fall into that people pleasing mode, kind of the martyr, like, but then I get really resentful. So the minute I start feeling any kind of resentment about my work, which is something I really love, I know that I'm like people pleasing too much. I'm not putting my own needs first. I'm putting everyone else's needs ahead of mine. Which leads to like, you know, it's like one thing leads to another. So it's like that bending over backwards leads to resentment, leads to me feeling bad about myself and not wanting to go on walks or eat healthy. And like, it just kind of starts spiraling until you're just like, wow. So catching it at that resentment, when I even just start feeling just a little bit of that, like, ugh, I'm like, okay, here it comes. Where am I like laying myself bare for people to walk over? You know, it's like knowing that about myself has been really helpful.
I'll start like that feeling of resentment and I'll like make a little comment and I'll hear myself say it. I mean, I know we've talked about this, but like you can see people doing it online a lot, like making a little comment about how overwhelmed they are, or you can tell they're like resentful. And then I'm like, I'm usually like, oh, I put myself in this spot. Like I need like water, and like I'm like a plant, like me and water me and like me outside, you know, like I just need to like show myself some love. So what does a high value woman do when it comes to self-respect? What do you guys do?
I'm like, now I need to do more of the self-care things, like the and again, I think this looks different in different seasons, but need to do get my yoga membership back up, or go to the spa, or do my skincare routine at night, or, you know, like schedule. I just went through my schedule today and I was like, what does Kristen need in an ideal week? You know, I have to treat myself like a little baby. I'm like, I need soup and I need cuddles and like a nap, you know? And so going through and just being like, what if I do put myself on the top of the list? It feels so bad at first. Cause I feel like everyone else is like, put everyone else in front of you or whatever, but like kind of switching that, being like, no, I'm going to put myself first and take care of myself first and know and trust that I'm going to do more good by doing that than like the opposite.
Oh yeah. It always makes me think of like the oxygen mask on the plane. Like if I don't have this self-respect, like I can't give it away. If I can't really respect myself, I think sometimes when I've been in that cycle of not respecting myself, when I see someone respecting themselves and being like, hey, like, I'm going to just go to yoga, I'm like, ugh. You know, like I get like little, I resent them. I resent me. I resent them. I resent my clients. Like I get in this like spiral of just nonsense where I'm like, I can just sign up for the yoga class and like eat a salad, you know, like throw some extra protein in there. Let's see what happens. Does my mood change?
I love it. Other people's self-care is like triggering you. I've been there though. I'm just like, ugh. How do they have time for this? They should be the worst.
Like that's where I'm like, I've gone too far. Too far. So funny. Gosh. So we wrote down some things about self-respect, and some of them are some ideas and some things that we've definitely done is when we're willing to invest in ourselves, growing, whether it's in knowledge, health, networking, what are some other things that you guys have done in investing in self-respect or growing in that area?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you learn something new or you prioritize friendships, I've taken sabbaticals, like your stock goes up as a high value person. And if you're trying to attract high value clients too, they're going to know if you're a person that's doing these things that like you're, if you're respecting yourself, like people feel it when you respect yourself and you respect them. So yeah, I mean, I think that those health routines, but also always learning, like I've invested in coaching and mastermind so many times and books and trips and sabbaticals, my own inspiration. I just think that stuff's so important.
Yeah. When I travel, I don't work. I don't bring my laptop. I don't, you know, I'm off because I think it's really important for me to have that time. Therapy, like investing in therapy, coaching, my health, you know, trying to prioritize those things that keep me grounded and make me able to do all the things that I do is a good, I think that's like the most important thing when you're working on respecting yourself.
Yeah.
I also think a team, and I just revisited this with my own business, because I'm like, if I'm resenting my partner, if I'm resenting the housework or my child or my business or my clients, like there's probably someplace I need support too, you know, and maybe asking my partner to do that isn't always the best thing either. So like, is there something, someone I could bring in to help with house stuff or someone on my team that I could delegate something to? I think that that stuff shows self-respect too. And if we're trying to grow businesses, like you really can't just do it on your own, you know, much past 100,000. At that point, you kind of tap out and you're like, in order to scale, you need more people.
Yeah, for sure. And if you do try to do it on your own, it just starts a cycle of like just resentment and, you know, and then you're just like under eating and only eating chips and mad when people work out around you.
I think something about in self-respect is like knowing that you can't physically do it all or mentally do it all, and that that's normal and okay. And it's actually like treating yourself well to say like, I don't enjoy this. I'm not good at it. I'm going to hire someone who is and does. And I feel like there's a lot of self-respect in that instead of trying to do it all and being miserable or resentful or.
Yeah. You know, like in the past when I've been like, who are they doing pottery? You know, like maybe I can't always see it, but when I see a high value person respecting themselves, it like is this trigger effect. Like I feel more inspired to respect myself. I feel more inspired to take care of myself. I feel more inspired to respect other people. And that's something that we talked about too, is like when you're showing yourself respect, like you respect others, like it flows over into your business and you give it away. And you're not really thinking about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all feel this as coaches too, but I've had to think about this of like, if I'm constantly overextending myself for my coaching clients, I'm also teaching them that they have to overextend themselves and people please to run a successful business. And I hate to think that I'm passing that along. So like a lot of my coaching clients like it when I take time off. It's like giving them permission too, of like, oh, she can go and take a second and then come back and like, I'm okay, you know? And this goes back to boundaries too, is like, when someone's in my world and I'm working with them, I want to be available to them. So I do often answer text messages on the weekends or get back to people quickly, but it comes from a place of like abundance and health and that like I really want to. I'm never answering someone out of fear or out of desperation or out of like people pleasing anymore, because that's not loving to them and they can feel it and that like transfers over.
Yeah. No, that's really good. I can definitely see, just even the last few months, I have one client, for example, that I put up more boundaries with and was like, I'm gonna travel or I'm gonna go do this. And they took a few trips and turned their phone off. No, like, I haven't done this forever, but like we talked about it and I knew you were doing it. And so they did it. And I was like, how did it feel? Did it feel good? I feel good. Did you feel good? Like, I love seeing the domino effect.
Okay. So the third thing that a high value creative business owner, woman, man does is they know what they're about. So I feel like that is a big statement, but some of the things we discussed a little earlier was that they know when to say yes and no, like they trust themselves, their intuition, which I think kind of goes along with the self-respect aspect, right? Like you trust that you intrinsically know what the right thing will be. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what larger goals you have and what your values are and your priorities are, and you honor those. So it's less like knee-jerk reactions and more like feeling really grounded in your decision-making. And I think that's an important place to come from in business, especially like in life in general, but in business.
I think it's so attractive too. Yeah. When someone knows what they're about, like they have a really clear vision for their life or this season of their life, or they're passionate about something. I'm like, oh, tell me more. I want to know about you. Like, I want to know why you feel so confident to walk to the beat of your own drum. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's magnetic. I always want to know more too. And it's usually, I think when someone knows what they're about, I feel like for me too, when I feel most confident is when it's super simple. Like I'm not trying to grasp at a bunch of different things. Like, I'm becoming more and more confident in what I want to do. And it makes me think of when we were talking about boundaries and accessibility and all of that, I think this is another thing that grows with our businesses. Like, we don't know what we're about when we start out. We think we do.
Yeah.
And then it changes. And I think it's being willing to be like, okay, I'm getting better at hearing my intuition, or like, that wasn't great. Like, admitting when you're wrong and being like, this is actually what I'm about, is
important. Yeah. Have you ever had moments where you didn't listen to your intuition or trust yourself and had like a client that didn't work out, or it, you know, it always teaches you something obviously, but, do you feel like you've gotten better at listening to that? Sort of following your values and following your gut on things in business.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking of like one person right now. I remember like knowing I shouldn't take them on at all, but it was a referral from a friend and I was like, it'll be fine. Like, she knows her, it'll be okay. And it was the word, like, it made me so anxious. And mm-hmm. if I ever got, like, I would hear Voxer go off and I would feel my heart, like, skip a beat. I would be like, oh, like, what is this going to be about now? And, like, it changed, yeah, not listening to my intuition. And that definitely changes my intake process now when I take people on. But, yeah, it was not good. Like, yeah. I was not being respectful to myself.
Yeah. I feel like when you know like your values and your priorities, like you're able to be more proactive in guiding a client through a process or in taking a client, and you're able to, I mean, sometimes those bad experiences kind of inform those values and and priorities, but I think that knowing that stuff is, like you said, it's magnetic. It builds confidence in others, and it's just such a important thing to kind of develop.
Yeah, I think when we say no too, then the yeses get stronger, or we're kind of teaching people where we fit or that our time matters or whatever the lesson is. I used to be so afraid to say no. If I say no, this, I might not get another opportunity like this, or like I might get passed over by this wedding planner, by this conference, or by this speaking opportunity or whatever. But saying no always leaves room for a better yes, even if it's like, that would have been a cool opportunity, but the timing just didn't work out. Or I said I wasn't going to skip holidays this year with my family, and I want to make sure I'm available for that. Like, it always helps us make space for the thing that really matters to us. So yeah, I definitely feel like my intuition has gotten stronger, and I've also gotten better at, like, sometimes you don't know right away, but maybe you know once you start working with someone, and I've gotten better at just like ending it there instead of trying to draw out the relationship and like, let me prove to this person I'm really good at this, you know, like if I get an inkling working with someone that this is going to be hurtful to me or they're not in the right place to receive this, I end that relationship really quickly. And that feels way better.
Oh yeah. I definitely think that I pursued people a lot more and wouldn't listen to my intuition. I'd be like, well, I need to network and I need relationships. And there were certain people that I just kept pursuing, and it was never, I remember being at a coffee with someone and listening to them talk about themselves for probably like over an hour. And being like, I hate the way I feel right now. I wish I was anywhere else but here, just in this like tailspin. And then I started listening to myself and I was like, oh, I don't have to do this anymore. Like, I never need to do this again.
There is no person out there that's so magical that you have to like contort your body into little tiny shapes to make them like you for your career. No. There's just not someone out there with that much power.
No. And I've been, when I was younger, I've been in situations where I felt like I had to do that and ended up in a good role that looked great, gave me great opportunities. And I was so, so, so miserable because I violated that inner voice and kept pushing forward because I thought I had to.
I feel like a lesson that everyone hopefully learns at some point is to ask the question, not do they like me, but also do I like them?
Yeah.
And I feel like we get very caught up in the, like, do they want to work with me? Do they want to pay me? Do they want me to take photos of them? And we forget to ask ourselves, like, but is this making me feel good to work with them?
Mm-hmm.
It has to both fit.
Yeah.
So as you've kind of figured out more of what you're about in your business, both of you guys, like, do you feel like you have less of that like knee jerk reaction to a client texting you or asking you something or an inquiry coming in or whatever the fact may be, like, where you feel like you're less just reactive overall in your business due to like knowing more of like who you are, what you're looking for, the types of people you want to work with, that type of thing?
I would say and I feel a difference in my body. Mm-hmm. So when I see a boxer go off or if I get a notification, I'm not like, oh my gosh, I'm very into it right now. Or like, I don't feel that like change. And my decisions are more measured. And I'm saying, I'm giving a lot more no's or I'm letting more time go by when I'm answering questions or answering emails or things like that.
Yeah.
I called it like my friend in college, she and I would always go to the same coffee shop and there was this barista there who would flirt all the time. And I just would be like, I just like think he's so cute. Like I love talking to him. And she would always be like, sparkly trash. And I would be like, what are you talking about? And she was like, guys that are like that are like sparkly trash. You're driving down the road, you see something shimmering, you're like, oh my gosh, what is that, like money? What is that? And she's like, and it's an old bag of Doritos.
Mm-hmm.
It is not gonna, like, should not pull your attention. It's trash. So, okay. No, sparkly trash.
Poor guy.
She was like,
sparkly trash.
Yeah, it was in a good way that, like, she was like, he just wants, like, emotional, flirty energy, serious, and it's trash. It's not, like, a diamond, you know? It's just, like, a sparkly Dorito bag.
Yeah, it's, like, the shiny object or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like I have like less knee-jerk reactions because I feel like for so long my business was in survival mode, or I was in survival mode, you know, like single parenting, or was building up my business and was the breadwinner and just didn't have any systems. So there was no kind of reliable way of bringing in clients. I was like, oh, if I'm not on Instagram 24 hours a day, I'm not going to get inquiries. It was very dependent on my time. It was like, put money in and you get a gumball out, that kind of thing. And I think as we learn new things about how to set up systems in our business and learn what that means to like create more momentum in our business, that becomes less of a thing. And then also just like, I know that freedom, I know that abundance, I know that those things are important to me. And so I can like do a little bit more of that trust. And then I feel like less desperate, you know, not like, oh, this person has to like me, or I need to marry the first boy that I see because there's never going to be another person that loves me, you know, like that's definitely what my business felt like for a long time.
Yeah. That makes sense. I love that you said systems. I feel like there's always been so much emphasis in like respond as quickly as you can to an inquiry, but it's like, you're not working 24/7, but you can set up systems that can work for you if you really feel like that's important to respond right away with like, hey, loved hearing from you. I will be in touch on Monday at 9 a.m. when my office hours start. Like there's ways to kind of calm that fear of not responding right away. And then also giving yourself freedom.
Yeah.
And not having that knee-jerk sort of like, oh, I was pinged on a Sunday night at 9 p.m. I must respond to this inquiry immediately.
Yeah.
I saw this quote too that I need to post at some point, but it said like work on building respect, not attention, or like seek respect, not attention, because it lasts longer. And I'm like, that's a lot of what we're about at Dangerous Creatives is like building something with more legs. And I think it's part of having this high value business too, is it's deep. It's not just surface level. It's not like as soon as if TikTok goes offline, like your business is crap, you know, like it's deeper and you have that word of mouth referral source, and you know that you're going to continue to get clients because of the like, yeah, the depth that you have in your business. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so important to lean into that too. All right. So we did our first three: high value creative businesses. The vibe that they have is they've got strong boundaries. They have awesome self-respect. They know what they're about. And then number four is high expectations for clients. I'm excited to talk about this one. I don't think this gets talked about enough. Mm-hmm. And it can like really change how everything goes, honestly. Like, oh my gosh, if we have low expectations for clients, they're not going to get the same results. We're not going to have the same photos. They're not going to have the same experience. So what does high expectations for clients look like for y'all?
For me, in the virtual assistant business manager space, I work primarily with photographers. And for me, expectation I have for a client is caring about their business and like doing what they say they're going to do, because I care a lot about the people I work with. I care a lot about their business. I'm an extension of it. That's how I view what I do, but I cannot care more about their business than they do. If they aren't getting back to me and I'm trying to get back to a client, like I can only do so much. I'm not the business owner. So my, you know, I don't feel like it's a super high expectation, but I do expect that if you're going to hire me, you are working just as hard in your business, if not harder than I am. And I think I work really hard. So I that's an expectation I have. If you don't care about your business, if you can't answer questions from a client or myself, like we're not going to work well together, because that's just something that's incredibly important for me. It's about respecting myself. It's about respecting the client. It's about respecting their clients, you know, people's time. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that. So being a good communicator, saying, you know, I'm going to do this, and then actually doing it, which is a shared value because it's something that's important to me, and trusting that they're going to do what they say they're going to do, and having integrity in their business. So those are the expectations I personally have for my clients. Mm-hmm.
Those are good.
Yeah. Communication is really important to me. Like if you say you're going to email me back, or you're going to call me back, or you want to have a meeting, like I've already written it down, like we're doing it. And so communicating about something or something like that is really important. I think if you've agreed to a policy, like if we have a contract and I've gone over it with you and we've agreed on it. And this is, you know, like if we get past a point where there should be a refund, or if you skipped time we spent together, and like, I'm need you to understand like the repercussions of that. Just as like, we agreed that this is the way it was going to go. Like sometimes it reminds me of being a little kid and like, you know, like if you talk in class, you have to sometimes sit in the hallway, you know, like you're still welcome back in, but this is what we agreed to like have a mutual respectful relationship. And then along with that too, like people paying on time is really important to me. So I actually now only work with clients on auto pay.
Yeah.
Because of that. And like, this is the way we work together. Like my expectation for you in payment is that we work on auto pay. I don't send you an invoice. Like I'm not, if someone can't pay when they're supposed to pay, or they ask for a different type of payment plan, I actually don't work with them.
Yeah.
I like that one. That takes a lot of hassle out and kind of like pre-qualifies your clients too.
It's a very subtle way, I think, to pre-qualify them. And it's really interesting to me. A lot of clients I've had issues with payment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, just take away the option. Like you can, and they're like, but I feel like I have to offer all these different types of payment. And I was like, you don't, you can just, there's so many options, but auto payment is, everyone has a card. They can do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Payment on time is very important. We will just cease work. I mean, I've fired clients for not paying on time just because it's just an important thing. It shows respect. Mm-hmm. It's like the contract thing. You know, I'm agreeing to this contract as well.
Mm-hmm.
It protects us both. Like I'm saying, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what you're going to do as your part. And like, it's an important thing that they uphold that. And also they want me to uphold mine, you know, and yeah, my end of it. And so just having clients that respect and understand the payment schedule, the contract, and that's just super, super important.
Yeah, I agree with both of those. And yeah, I think at earlier points in my business, I felt like I had to prove to other people that I was really good at what I do, or that I'm better than someone else or whatever. Like, it doesn't sound great saying it, but I feel like I thought I had a lot to prove. And so didn't require the same level of respect from people I was working with. And so as a high, like now feeling this more high value vibe of like, you have to be willing to let someone walk away if they can't meet the terms of your expectations. So with a client, like y'all said, someone paying on time is kind of a low bar, but like a lot of people feel like they can ask for different things, or they can disregard your business and show disrespect by not paying on time. So having that expectation, but I feel like also for me, for coaching clients, it's respect for me, but also respect for themselves and like having enough buy-in in their own growth. I can't push them up a hill. I will walk with them up a hill and show them like the way to go, but I can't drag someone up a mountain. Like that's the fastest way to burn out as a coach or as an educator. And so I have to have someone with like a collaborative spirit that's like, I value your input in my business. I'm going to walk alongside you and do that. We're going to do this together. So I think that like that collaboration and that initiative and that like sense of responsibility is super important, and like an openness. Like all my clients, both photography and coaching, are very open. They're open to feedback. They're open to like someone seeing them and understanding them. If we're like kind of holding things back, we can't really have great photos. We can't really have a great like working relationship with the coach. So I think those things are important to me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. And shared values, trust, communication, all those things are so important. And I found with my wedding clients, like the more high end wedding clients want to just like trust you. They don't need a ton of hand holding most of the time. They just want to know that like you're great at what you do. You're going to make it as easy for them as possible, that they don't have to worry about you, and that you're like there for them when they do need you, you know? So I do answer clients on weekends. I do like talk to people when they need it, but none of them abuse that privilege. I just want to be able to be there for them because we do have these high expectations for each other.
One thing with high expectations too, is I really want people to be on time. Like that's a value that I have, is being on time. And if I'm not on time, like I'll be like, I'm so sorry. I'll be there in 1 minute or whatever. Like had to, you know, like my, something wasn't working and I had to get it, but I'm like communicating really quickly. And I definitely have that expectation for my client, but I also think I have to have that expectation for myself. Like there's some of these expectations where I, again, like going back to clients, like they want to have these expectations for their clients. They don't want to have them for themselves. And yeah. I think the high value owner like really understands that it goes both ways.
Totally. Yeah.
1,000%. I think you totally nailed it there with like, if you expect a client to show up on time, to pay on time, then you also mm-hmm. need to be doing that for your contractors, for your employees. Like you need to be paying them on time. You need to show up when you're going to, like say you're going to. So it does go both ways. And I feel like people often forget that.
We do. We all work with small business owners.
Yeah.
And so it's people that are wanting clients to hire them at a high rate. You know, they want to book a $10,000, $20,000 wedding. And they're wanting to gain respect in their industry. And then the way that they're treating people that they hire or coaches, or the way that they're working with their second shooters, or even the way that they're working with clients sometimes, if you're doing things to like poke at your own integrity, like people aren't going to be able to meet you in that high value place. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you know, even I think if you're not willing to invest in yourself the same amount that you're asking a client to invest in you, it's going to be really hard to align on that number. So if you're like, I want to book a $20,000 wedding, but you haven't invested the time in your own expertise, you haven't hired mentors, you haven't gotten the gear, you haven't put in the work, like it just doesn't match up. So we have to be really honest with ourselves about if what we are putting out is the same of what we're asking for in return. Mm-hmm. Because people really do want to meet us on a similar plane, like energy wise and responsibility wise and like level or whatever. So mm-hmm. be high value as you attract high value.
Yeah.
So a high value business owner knows their worth. So for me, one of those things is that there's enough to go around. We're not like hoarding our creative abilities or our relationships, like giving information, like giving tips, giving like kindness away to people, and collaboration is something that I think really shows that you know your worth. So what about you guys?
I think a big thing, I mean, charging well for your time, I think is something that is important, but I also realize in the building stages of business that you might have to grow a little bit, right? You can't just come out the gate being like, I'm worth $1,000 an hour, guys, so here we go. Like you have to work up to that. But I think the thing that we talked about earlier that really resonated with me and is something I have had to learn as I go along in business is finding like fulfilling my need for purpose outside of my work. I think you start your business and you're so obsessed with it and you're so like wanting to grow. And it's not that I'm less obsessed with my business, but I've found that I also need purpose and activities beyond my work. And that helps me grow as a business owner, as a person, as a friend, as a partner. I think it just makes you like it levels you up in every area when you have things that bring you purpose outside of your day job or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I feel like increases your worth and allows you to really know your worth when you feel like you have other things. It allows you to say no, you know, when you have things outside of work that fulfill you, you're not just desperately needing that validation and that everything coming your way has to be a yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that plays a lot into the self-respect and boundaries. And if you, the more you focus on knowing your worth, it's that kind of stuff I feel like just flows out of us. Mm. And it's easier to put all those things in place. It doesn't feel like it's such a chore to like, and now I'm going to respect myself and now I'm going to have boundaries. You're like, okay, I have some room. I'm definitely worth it. So these things are, they just happen.
And I think the more you kind of, what we talked about earlier, of like investing in yourself, like the more you do that, the more you understand your worth and what you provide. Like, and it kind of also goes with the collaboration and not competition kind of vibe is like, I know that I am a good business owner. I'm a good photographer, you know, but like, I also know Kristen's a good photographer and I know that each of us bring something different. We could both take a photo of the exact same thing and it would look totally different. And knowing that there's like room for everyone because you know your own worth and your own value allows you to not focus so much on the scarcity and really like feel more abundant as well.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Someone else's talent
doesn't take away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, I think that's such a big thing. So that's where a lot of good creative collaboration happens. Like some of the greatest movies we've ever seen, some of the greatest images we've ever seen, some of the greatest books or like media creative work that's ever been done is because someone else, two people that felt worthy, respected each other's creativity and were able to create amazing things. And that's just, I think it's the biggest creative killer.
Yeah.
Like in the beauty industry, when I saw people that were like, wouldn't work together, they're like, I don't want to, like, I don't want to share my secret, you know, or I'm like, listen, like,
your secret's not that secret.
Like, what are you doing? Even larger businesses, as I worked with companies, they create amazing, amazing work with collaboration. And usually it's two people sitting in a room. They might have these huge, huge businesses. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you're a good person. I'm a good person. We make cool shit. You make cool shit. Like, and I respect what you're doing. And I think it's awesome. How can we work together and create something huge? Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'm like, these creative people, like, I mean, with businesses and teams, whatever behind them, but making decisions together, just choosing to respect each other's work and acknowledge it. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you know what you bring to the table, you can come together with other people and create really cool things. And, but I also empathize with like, I'm sure y'all still remember the feeling of being triggered by someone else's success. Mm-hmm. Like you see someone on Instagram and your body just shuts down and you're like, I didn't even know that I wanted something like that. I didn't even know that I would be jealous of that person. I'm not a jealous person, right? And like that whole, that feeling feels so bad.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us think we just need to avoid it or unfollow them on Instagram or block them or like stay away from other photographers or other creatives. And I actually think you have to do the opposite. I think you have to lean into it and be like, what's a way we could collaborate? What's a way I could lift them up? Like, how can I get to a place in my mind where we're on the same team instead of on different teams? Because I'm kind of making this up in my head most of the time. Like, that person is not like, I'm going to destroy your business. Like, they're not. They probably aren't even thinking about you. And so, you know, I think when we do really know our intrinsic worth, it opens us up to cool collaborations, but also like come to the table with for a cool opportunity, you know, and know that whether someone says yes or no to me, that doesn't define whether I am valuable. Like I know my own intrinsic worth. Mm-hmm. And so if an opportunity passes me by, that doesn't say anything about me. That could be anything. That could just be anything.
Yeah. Something that as my business has grown in this round, like knowing my worth, a practice that I've had is going back and looking at like how I've been able to grow people's businesses or like the results I've seen of that. And it's like if I'm ever having those feelings where I feel gross or I feel like imposter syndrome or something like that, like I think that's something that a high value person like you have to do is like be willing to put an effort to remind yourself to and not rely on other people for it. I mean, it's nice. You get the compliments and you get the stuff, but like to really sit down and be like, this is why I know mm-hmm. I'm able to do this or I'm able to charge this, or it's, you know, I belong in this room. Mm-hmm. Like you have to hype yourself up sometimes. Yeah. You don't rely on anybody for that.
Yeah. I think someone who knows their worth is able to validate themselves. mm-hmm. versus needing validation from others.
Mm-hmm. And if that's, and also like, if you have a hard time with that, like a high value person, you're going to seek therapy and mm-hmm. you're going to journal and you're going to take the steps to be like, this is a hole for me and it's manifesting in all these other areas. And so I have to figure this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to stay in that. And I mean, just to circle back to the like integrity and self-respect, of like, if something is not going your way or you need out of a situation, coming at something with collaboration instead of like attacking another person is going to go so much farther. Cause when we don't look for ways to collaborate with people through an issue, we break down a lot of like future opportunities. We break down our own reputation. I'll give an example. I had a client who didn't love their engagement photos. And a lot of it didn't have anything to do with me. It was like, they were late. So the lighting wasn't what she had hoped. She really wanted golden hour, but they were there after golden hour had started. There were some like interpersonal dynamics, but she came to me and she called me and she was like, I'm not as in love with the engagement photos as I want to be. How can we like solve this? And we got to have like a conversation, a collaborative conversation of some options. And she offered to pay me for a reshoot. I offered to do it for free. And we figured out a thing that like worked for both of us that felt like we both respected each other's time. Mm-hmm. And like, I have no bad feelings for that client at all. I would recommend her. I would work with her. I would support her future endeavors. Like we came through that so well. Whereas I feel like if you don't have this self-worth and you don't hold people with respect, you can really like destroy a relationship that could be really valuable to you down the road. So I think that that's like a thing that high value women and creatives do as well. I'm trying to like kick out the men from this conversation, but I feel like high value women, it just like all flows. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just think that that's such an important thing too, is to think like longer term about the decisions you're making and not like, not come at things with short-term solutions for what could be like a longer term thing.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Yeah.
I feel like what sticks out to me in that story too, is that I think a high value person understands that there's two sides to the story, right? There's more dynamics at play than just I did something wrong or they did something wrong. Yes, it's like,
it's not just about you.
Right. There's so many things that go into a conflict or something that didn't work out as hoped. And it's often somewhere in the middle, right? And having an adult conversation about a solution is such like a way to show respect to yourself, but also to your client.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so proud of her in that moment. I was like, this is the way you handle conflict. Cause I know so many of us have had clients that don't come at things the same way. Yeah. And it can be like, you don't even want to show up to their wedding because it's so bad. You're just like, I don't want to work with you anymore. This was not good.
Yeah. And pro tip, have a phone call, have a conversation. I feel like things get so much like lost so often in an email or a text, and people read it with the emotion they feel in that moment. And it can always, it just never goes well. So conflict resolved via phone call.
use a phone.
Yeah. The last thing, it kind of flows right into this, what we were just talking about, is like taking responsibility. So a high value person owns their shit. They accept honesty, right? They want to have conflict resolution in a mature way. They accept responsibility for their part in the unmet expectations. Kristen kind of gave an example of that, but do you have any examples, Lauren, of where you had to own your shit?
Yes, I have a few, especially having had employees.
Yeah.
And so I think anytime you're in a leadership position over a group of people, you're just not at the same level and people are listening way harder mm-hmm. and a little more critically the things that you say. And sometimes you have a bad day. And so there are definitely things where I've had to be like, hey, that was totally out of line. The way I said that, the tone I said it is not what I meant. I saw your face change. I am so sorry. Here's what I meant. How can I make this better? Like, do you need to step outside for a moment? Like, there's just been different things where I've really had to own my own stuff. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, be like, kind to myself in that. Like, I'm going to own this, be kind, and let myself be human. And then I also have had to open myself up to other people and be like, hey, what did you think of that situation? Like, am I overanalyzing it, or do I really know something here? Mm-hmm. And yeah, asking for feedback and being open to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like having a team, growing a team, I've had moments where maybe it's not working out with someone and I have to, you know, it's like a hard conversation with yourself of like, am I giving them all the tools that they need to be successful? Am I doing my part as a leader and not just having these expectations for them and not giving them everything they need? So like being really honest with myself of like, it's not just this person might be dropping the ball or this happened. It's like, what part do I have in this as the leader? Like making sure I'm upholding my part of the deal as well, which is training and leading and teaching and being available. Mm-hmm. So that's a hard thing to like ask yourself, like, am I the one that's dropping the ball here? Mm-hmm. Or is it both of us? Or, you know, and then how to move forward from that. And that, I just feel like that's something that comes with time and experience and lessons and all the things, but I do feel like that's you know, taking responsibility is not always the easy thing.
No, it's embarrassing. Yeah, it's so embarrassing, and you immediately want to, like, I don't know, crawl into a hole, you know, and just hide. You feel that like shameful, like, mm-hmm. feeling. And I think that, you know, in this always thinking about what I'm giving away. And I got to see time after time when I did that, people have worked other places. And I think with clients too, it's like, they've been around other people. They've been clients of other people. They've been customers other places. And when you create that environment, it gives them the freedom to do the same thing. That changes the dynamic. It gives people freedom to give feedback. It gives this like level of communication and more trust, mm-hmm. after you resolve conflict and you own your stuff.
Yeah. I mean, people are human. They make mistakes. It's, you know, moving on from that. You apologize, you take ownership of it. How can we make this right? And you move forward. It's just not always easy. Even when you're trying to be a high value person, it is it's tough to do those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and high value doesn't mean perfect. And I think conflict or a mistake, sometimes those things are a great opportunity for us to show our value and show that we come to the table with a lot to offer, because we can like face the conflict, take responsibility, have the hard conversations. We're not shying away from it. Like, there's courage there. And a lot of times, even in like a client relationship, being able to move through something like that, like a conflict, creates more brand loyalty than if they hadn't told you that they didn't like something, or if they had just been like, things are great, you know. Like, conflict is an opportunity to create something even deeper, to have. And it's true in like friendships or relationships or business too. It's like, it could go even deeper if we work through this together. So I think don't be afraid of your imperfections, like knowing your limits and also taking responsibility when things don't go exactly as planned, can be like a really positive thing if you face it with integrity and with like maturity. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling inspired to become more of this high value person in your business, just know that it's a process. Know that we are all moving towards it and making mistakes and changing course, and everything is like living and breathing and changing constantly as our seasons of life change, as our goals change. So I'm so excited for all of us as we continue down this path. I think that we're going to make our industry so much better, but also just create deeper relationships all around, more purpose and fulfillment in our creative work. And I think we all want to be this high value person. So thank you for listening to this podcast. We love spending time with you. We love it when you share these episodes. Would love to know what you think about the 6 things that we outlined here, or if you think there's anything else that goes into being a high value business owner. We appreciate you so much, and we will see you next week.
thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Dangerous Creatives Podcast. We're so thankful that we can deliver this awesome content to you each week, and we're so thankful for your support and that you keep showing up to listen. If you want to dive in a bit more, we have our membership that is open year-round. We just launched a couple challenges inside of it, the Money Mindset Challenge and the Vision Challenge, and those are things you can walk through at your own pace. They're super fun and easy to get through, and also really inspiring if you're trying to make moves in your business. We have a monthly call as part of that membership too. So you get to join for a year, have community, jump in with a bunch of creatives, and also walk through the curriculum together. So if you want more information on that, you can check out that and all of our other offerings at dangerschool.com. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon. This episode was produced and edited by the lovely Jen Madigan Creative. Music for this episode was written and recorded by Chammy D. Thanks for being part of our Dangerous Creatives podcast community, and we'll see you again next time. Won't you get down?